Hey, Amanda.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, do you remember the early 90s soccer movie starring Jack Roy?
No.
There's like cross-dressing in it, and none of this rings a bell?
No.
Oh, he might be known by his stage name, Rodney Dangerfield, and it's a kids movie starring Jonathan Brandis. Does that help?
Oh, does it. The beginning of my spank bank. Are we talking about ladybugs?
We are, and that's what we're talking about today.
And can we talk about?
You know what they say, plenty of fish in the sea if you got the right bait.
Yeah, the trouble is, my hook ain't what it used to be.
What happened, anyway?
I don't want to go into it. It's a long story.
Come on. Get it off your chest. It'll make you feel better. Remember, there ain't nothing you can tell me that I ain't heard before. So, come on. What happened?
Well, what happened was I took her son and I dressed him up like a girl and I talked him into playing with me.
Stay out, you sicko! We don't want your kind in here.
Boy, what a happy hour. Well, at least I beat the check.
Can we talk about ladybugs?
We can, because you know how we always joke that like something was like our sexual awakening? This was mine. I'm not kidding.
Okay, wait.
We just did like an hour and a half of pre-talk before we hit record. I don't think Tom was expecting that.
No, I was. I wasn't expecting that at all. I am intrigued because when you talk about ladybugs and then say it was your sexual awakening, I don't even know. Like, if I said that the movie Bedazzled with Brendan Fraser was my sexual awakening.
Also mine.
Okay. But you know where I'm going with that, right?
I can't believe you don't know where I'm going with this.
I don't know where you're going with, because the thing is, it could be a myriad of things of why late and out of all movies.
Oh no, you're right. You're right. Okay. Let's just start off the bat. If you have not seen Ladybugs, number one, you are much younger than the two people recording this podcast. Let's just start off there. Yeah. This is a 1992, March 27th release. Rodney Dangerfield, Vanessa Shaw, Jonathan Brandis, and Eileen Graff, who were huge in this time. You'll know Vanessa Shaw from Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
You'll know Jonathan Brandis from Amanda Spank Bank. You will know Rodney Dangerfield because he was a very popular comedian. And Eileen Graff basically played every mom in the 90s.
She was the mom on Mr. Belvedere.
Yes.
Which is, I think, she's most recognizable for anyone.
I mean, she was in Heart of Dixie, which I loved that show. Newer show.
Yeah.
But she was in a lot of things. She was on Three's Company for an episode. Touched by an Angel, which if you haven't seen that, that was my jam. I love Touched by an Angel. But yeah. This is essentially a movie where Rodney Dangerfield is engaged to her. Mm-hmm. She has a son from her previous marriage, Jonathan Brandis. Mm-hmm. And Rodney Dangerfield plays a gentleman named Chester, who is engaged to her and kind of fucked up. She's like, I'll marry you if you get this promotion.
Wait, is that?
Yes.
She's like,
I will marry you when you get this promotion. Kind of fucked up.
I thought it was like he didn't feel like he was good enough to marry her unless he had the promotion.
No, because remember, he keeps saying, he's like, I've got to get this promotion so she'll marry me.
Promotion.
Yeah. It's so fucking good. So
I do a Rodney Dangerfield impression.
Yeah. He lies to her essentially and says he gets a promotion because he goes to his boss's office and his boss is like, yeah, it was great to see you. Hard pass.
Yeah.
And his assistant, played by Jackie Harry, who I fucking love. Jackie Harry, she was Lisa Landry on Sister Sister, which is one of my favorite shows of all time. I truly loved her. Her energy, her vibe, so fucking good.
Well, she was on 227, which I'm saying these things like Mr. Belvedere, 227. And I know
and you're a couple years older than me that they don't register, but keep going.
I know. I don't know what it was. And maybe this is why I am I am the way I am, but I grew up watching just like sitcoms from everywhere. I watched Night Court. I watched 227. There was a spinoff from 227 I watched with Amen. Do you ever watch Amen?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
I watched all of this, but Jack Hay was the staple. Like, she was like the lead on that show with Maria Gibbs. But anyway, that's a whole
I gotta be honest with you. I thought she was in way more shit than she was in.
I know, and that's the thing too. Like, you even said the same thing about Jonathan Brandis.
Where was I seeing her?
Just the 90s.
I guess. But like, I wasn't watching Mother Goose, a Rapping and Rhyming special. I'm a little upset that I wasn't.
Oh my God. Wait. She
I didn't watch that. Yeah, she's Little Bo Peep.
Okay, let me explain this. Okay, can we just, before we go, I'm going to go down a rabbit hole. And I have to find this on her resume because I didn't even realize that she was.
Go to Wikipedia and click on her name. That's what I did.
Okay. What was it called again? What was the title of this? It was
called Happily Ever After, Fairy Tales for Every Child, and it was a rapping something or other.
Yeah, this feels like a fever dream, but I remember this growing up, and then you couldn't find it, right? Like, to take a
Mother
step back.
Mother Goose, a Rapping and Rhyming special? Can we please do this?
When we talk about Ladybugs, right, which is like this very random movie from the 90s.
Did everything to my life.
It was on constant like rotation on HBO,
yes.
Which is, I think, why me and you grew up watching this. By the way, to throw it out there, because we explained this to, we had a meeting with our team at Gotham West, and we explained this movie. No one knew what it was, and then they looked it up, and then Katie, our editor, is like, it has a 16% on Rotten Tomatoes. We're like,
but
ignore that, ignore
on.
That.
Okay, so it has a 16% on Rotten Tomatoes, but I will say... Mm-hmm. That it has, I forget what the website is because I've read
Cinema
this.
Score. The Cinema Score.
A-.
Yes. People who watch it love it.
Fucking love it.
But the critics hated it.
Well, they didn't like Rodney Dangerfield either. So that.
Yeah. Which, by the way, let me just, there's a New York Times review of it and I was reading it and it says, looking a bit more paunchy than he did in 1986, which they're referring to. The other movie he did, Back to School,
which is incredible. We have to do that this year.
And I'm like, who cares? I was also trying to find out the backstory to this movie, which we have, because most of the people who are listening to this might have never seen this movie. We have to explain what it is in a second, but this was a vehicle. It felt like a vehicle for Rodney Dangerfield, the same way like Easy Money and Back to School were other Rodney Dangerfield movies. The only difference here is that there was like essentially a kids movie with Rodney Dangerfield. And it was, I loved it growing up. We'll get into all that. But
one of my favorites. I don't honestly know. Honestly and truly.
It's like one of those like cart before the horse kind of things. Like, did they write it for Rodney Dangerfield? Was it a movie script? And then they brought Rodney Dangerfield in and then he just injected his comedy into it? I actually don't know. I don't know if you actually did any research into this, but.
I did. So this movie. Okay. Rodney Dangerfield, I think, had a lot to do with the making of this movie because he has his friend from Back to School is the motivational speaker that you get in that first couple minutes. That's a guy from Back to School.
Oh,
and he's like looking into the mirror. And he's doing his little I'm good. And gosh darn it. Everybody likes me thing. Sam Kinison. I'm so sorry that I didn't.
Oh, Sam Kinison. Yeah.
Yeah. So he only did a cameo as a motivational speaker because he couldn't commit to the whole movie because he was killing it in stand-up then.
Yeah, yeah. Kinison was huge.
It's even more sad that he died April 10th, 1992, 2 weeks before this movie hit the theaters.
Oh, wow. Huh.
So like he, you know, I don't know, that kind of just really sucks. But Rodney Dangerfield... when a comedian now is crossing over to the movie world, we're given a very different situation. You don't automatically go to a teen rom-com.
No.
Rodney Dangerfield did. And Rodney Dangerfield, to me, and like, I say what you will, I don't know about you, but like, I loved Rodney Dangerfield growing up. His jokes were quick. They were fast. Mm-hmm. They were like one or two lines. Like as a kid, most of the time I could kind of understand what he was saying.
Yeah.
But like, he's, his jokes are not made for the
kids.
Children. This movie came out in 1992, 1993, whatever it may be. Yeah. I watched it then. I was like 5 or 6 years old. I told everybody in my first grade class that Jonathan Brandis was my boyfriend. I tried to convince him that was true. the lies I spun. And he was, to me, like the epitome of what I wanted in a man at 6 or 7 years old. And that continued well into like...
Well, hang on. And what exactly was that?
Oh, because blonde hair.
Okay. Oh, okay.
The eyes, the like careless little swoopy thing. And then I transitioned into Devon Sawa.
Oh, yeah.
Who was basically Jonathan Brandis Light of the 90s. And then unfortunately, obviously, Jonathan Brandis passed in 2003. But I really... I can't tell you the way my sister and I love Jonathan Brandis. It is a deep, deep love. Deep.
Yeah.
Even watching it today, I felt like a fucking creep. I rewatched some of it this afternoon because I was like, I fucking love this movie. I'm going to watch it again before we record. And I had watched it last week. Mm-hmm. He's so hot to me.
Well, was the draw to Jonathan Brandis when he was in Neverending Story?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, okay.
But there's also something in this movie that, like...
We have to explain what the movie is, by the way. Okay, you so started
essentially, I started saying it. He is a soccer player who gets kicked off his soccer team. His about-to-be stepdad is Rodney Dangerfield. So he, you know, is got a bad attitude. He's kind of a dick. So Rodney Dangerfield does not get this promotion, tells his wife he's dead, but the boss is like, hey, listen... We need somebody to coach our daughter's soccer team. And before that, Rodney Dangerfield sees all these soccer trophies and was like, oh, my God, I played soccer, too. I'm so great at soccer. Look at me. Yeah. I love soccer. And they're like, what position did you play? He's like, linebacker, frontbacker, backbacker, whatever you need. I did it. Yeah. And they're like, you don't fucking know what you're talking about. But sure, yeah, you can coach our daughter's soccer team. Why not?
Yeah.
And he's like, perfect. My secretary, played by Jack K. Harry.
Yeah.
She'll be my assistant coach. Neither of them know anything about soccer. They get there. The team is trash city.
Yeah.
The boss's daughter's on the team, played by our adorable Hocus Pocus girl. She's fucking awful because she's got bad anxiety. Basically, everyone on this team is awful. But don't you worry, because Rodney Dangerfield convinces Jonathan Brandis, a.k.a. his soon-to-be stepson, to dress up a girl named Martha.
Yeah.
His name is Matthew in the movie. He just puts like a blonde little wig. By the way, I had haircut. Right? I had that haircut all throughout the 90s. Like that was the haircut I had. Exact same hair color, everything.
Yeah.
And let's throw her in a dress. And she's going to be great on the soccer team. And the first game she comes in and she's a fucking dick. She steals the ball. She yells at everybody in her man voice. Yeah. And then he's like, you're a dick. You have to be nicer to people. And then all of a sudden he finds this like teammate mentality and he comes in and he helps... All of the girls realize their potential and they win and they get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But the girl he's in love with at school, but he can't talk to, happens to be Hocus Pocus girl. She's on the team. He's eventually becomes her best friend. I think it's hilarious. They play like 4 soccer games together. She comes to the house and she's like, you're my best friend. And she hugs him and he gets a boner and he has to run away because her tits are on him. And he's like, I gotta fucking go. And he goes into the kitchen. He's like, how about some Cokes? And so he goes to get the Cokes, but then his mom comes home, who's dating Rodney Dangerfield with Rodney Dangerfield and doesn't realize that Martha from the soccer team is her son, Matthew. And that's when Rodney Dangerfield's life falls apart.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. My girl, she kicked me out. Yeah. So there are moments that we need to talk about. OK, so that's I laid the plot out loosely. Do you think I did a good job there?
You did. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot in there, but the basic gist of it is is there another movie like this? Like that you compare it to?
Yeah, Little Giants.
Okay, yeah. It's like Little Giants, except if no one's like Icebox didn't pretend to be a boy. It would be like
I thought I was Icebox my whole life. Just wanted to know that.
We should
that's
do
really
that
who I thought I was. Too. We have to. It's one of my favorites. The Booger Bubble. Oh, crap.
But okay. So it's like Little Giants if Icebox just shaved her hair or anything.
Yes.
It's like, which by the way, in the 80s, we were really into gender bender plots, like Just One of the Guys and like the, it's Just One of the Guys, but instead of a girl becoming a guy, it's the opposite. And instead of being in high school, I guess they're in high school, but like, I don't know.
We got to talk about that.
Well, I had to Google this. But
okay.
Vanessa,
I already know what you're looking up because I looked it up because I was like, what the fuck? is happening right now.
Vanessa Shaw, who we all loved. She was, as a 90s kid or like an 80s, 90s kid, as a Xennial, which is what I am. I'm like in that weird juxt or whatever that is. It's that very specific time period of like we grew up in the 80s and 90s. You loved Vanessa Shaw. Like she was the dream girl in everything, including and most famously Hocus Pocus. Mm-hmm. But she was 16 in this.
Playing 14, almost 15. Playing.
Oh, I didn't realize they had 14, they almost were 15. Aged. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Playing 14, almost 15. And yeah. There is a scene when Jonathan Brandis comes to check out the team because, you know, Rodney Dangerfield, Coach Chester, needs like all this help. And he's envisioning her. Like he sees her. He's like, oh my God. He's all of a sudden, this 15-year-old girl is running across the field in a bra and underwear that's ladybug themed.
Yeah.
With her prepubescent boobs just flapping in the wind. And he's just like, yeah, that's it. Yeah. What the fuck?
The 90s were a different time. I mean, I would love to know from her if, like, this was uncomfortable. Because this is the thing, too, is, like, I'm not even thinking about, like, watching it or, like, that whole thing. I'm more thinking about it from, like, the perspective of you're, like, the 16-year-old girl and you're doing, like, the... maybe I have to back up. In Fast Times at Ridgemont High, right?
Yes.
Quite famously, back when we rented VHS tapes, the scene of What's-Her-Name coming out of the pool is, like, the most rewound scene. Like... The VHS tapes would break because people, you know, horny boys would like rewind and replay that scene over and over again. She was of age. I mean, obviously there was nudity there, but like she was older than they're playing teenagers, but I think she was older at that point. But it's similar like that, like, oh, dream girl thing. But like, yeah, like she like in. There's a lot of ways to play it, and they decided to put her in,
with that song, and you know, she's just like running at him slow motion, and then they meet in the middle and they like dance, and it's just like, immediately I had to like Google how old was she? How old is she playing?
Yeah.
Are we okay with this? And okay with this because there are definite, here's the thing, we're going to have to accept, and we've talked about this a lot.
Yeah.
We're going to accept the fact that a lot of these movies don't hold up to today's standards. And that's probably a good thing. You know what I mean? But let's just talk about the movie poster, something we love to do.
Okay.
It is Rodney Dangerfield. Mm-hmm. This is the Spanish movie poster. Just look it up.
The Spanish movie poster. Oh, why is it always like the foreign films have like
just
the foreign,
look it up.
Spanish poster.
It is Rodney Dangerfield and Jonathan Brandis standing behind her.
He holds
two soccer balls up to her tits to make it look like those are her boobs.
Okay. So to be clear, yes, the original American US poster, whatever you want to call it, is a picture of it's Rodney Dangerfield dressed up like the coach popping out of like a circle, kind of like, you know, like Bugs Bunny popping out of like, or Porky Pig popping out of like the little circle at the Looney Tunes cartoon, just holding a soccer ball, looking directly at the camera with his like Rodney Dangerfield face.
Great.
And then the title of the movie Ladybugs is right below that. And then miniaturized standing on top of the letters of the logo are the team just kind of scattered about, right?
Yes.
Innocent. And yes, the Spanish version is...
not that
it's Vanessa Shaw centered and then Jonathan Brandis standing behind her, making like a smiling at her face. She's making like a oops kind of face. And then Rodney Dangerfield on the other side of her, like poking out the side. And then, they're holding up and it's not even, it looks like it's Jonathan Brandis holding up two soccer balls in front of her boobs.
Yeah, it sure is. And, you know, Rodney Dangerfield was actually kind of pissed about the way that Paramount, this was made by Paramount, the way that they marketed this, because they marketed the movie as like a family comedy. And he's like, this is not a family comedy. This should be teenage and adult audiences. Should not be for children. But they marketed it and edited the movie to essentially appeal to family audiences. And he's like, this is not what we agreed upon. So he was not pumped with how, like, some of the jokes that they did. Perfect example is he talks about the scene where they're, which rewatching it, I was like, oh my Christ. They go to a store and he has to buy her a bunch of dresses so that she looks like a girl. And she can't zip up the dress because it's on the back. And this is Jonathan Brandis playing the girl. And so he goes in the dressing room with her, essentially disguising as like, oh, her twin sister is the same size. So he's going to try on the dresses for her. And so he's in the dressing room while this woman and her granddaughter are sitting in the chairs waiting to go in the dressing room. And the granddaughter's like five. Mm-hmm. And he's like saying like, you know, like, you got to be quiet. We can't tell your mom about this. And all you see is their feet. So it looks like girl's feet and an adult man's feet. Mm-hmm. And this woman is hearing this. He's like, oh, you got to be quiet. We can't tell your mom about this. Yeah. And she's like, it's just so uncomfortable. He's like, well, if you be quiet and you relax, it'll fit.
Yeah.
And the more you get used to it, it's going to fit even better. And then it's just like, she's like, I don't know if I like this. And he's like, you don't have to like it. You just have to let me do it. And it's like this whole thing where if you're on the outside, it sounds like they are just... It's a common trope.
Like it's a movie trope. Yeah.
It's a movie trope. But then he comes out of the dressing room, doesn't realize what this woman is thinking is going on. We're all thinking the same thing as this woman. And he walks over to the little girl because now she sees like, oh, my God, that was a man and a girl in there because he's wearing his girl costume. And he walks over to the little girl, puts his hand on her cheek and he's like, what a beautiful little girl. Yeah. And the woman pretends to have a heart attack. And I'm like, that right there, I agree with Rodney Dangerfield. They filmed that scene for adults.
Yeah.
They did not film that scene for children.
I don't, you know what? I mean, again, it's, I mean, because you have to understand what's going on. It's not, I watched this movie with my kid and he is 11 and he got it. He liked the movie, right? And I think, you know, like, there is like the whole thing of like boy crushing on the girl kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like there's that. And he's of age to kind of get that. There's a lot of jokes that, yeah, probably flew over his head, which there's a ton of movies for like when I say kids, it's a broad range. We're not talking
Trek.
Like, too young.
I always think Trek.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's jokes for both people. Yeah.
And that's, I think that's fine. But like, yeah, to the point of like, there was stuff in this where it's like, it wasn't a full fledged family movie. But
never.
Like, and that's the thing, like, they don't make movies like that anymore. Like, this is going to sound like old man yelling at the moon kind of thing. But like, they don't make movies for the very specific, like, remember like House Arrest?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Real deep cut there. Right. Like movies like that, where it was like, it's for kids, not too young, not. It's like made for kids between the ages of like 12 and like 16.
Yeah, like the preteen narrow window. Light teenage. Yeah.
Right. Which is such a narrow window now that like for everything they make for streaming and all this other stuff, it's like, oh, it's got to, you can't narrow it down that. We're not going to blow a budget of a couple million dollars on a movie that's only for people within like the 5 year span of age. So, which I always consider this movie to be in that span where it's like, it has like some adult jokes. I mean, it's got Rodney Dangerfield opening the back of his minivan going, I got a lot of balls, you know, just, I don't know much, but I know I got a lot of balls.
God, I love it.
And so like, yeah, it's for a certain audience and stuff. And there's we've grown up a bit since 1992. So like we've learned what's okay and not okay. But again, my mind honestly didn't even go to like the content for the audience. It was more the, like, there's a director yelling at Vanessa Shaw to, like, you know, put on her, you know.
And that is, to be clear, it's like, whew. And, you know, I cannot find the article, but I did read an article where she talks about, like, what she went through there. And there's another movie early on in her career, not Hocus Pocus, where something very similar happened to her. And she kind of was just like, that's who I am. Even watching this movie.
Yeah.
That scene where they like dress her up like she's going to be married to him and he's got like his like tux on and she's got the wedding dress on.
Oh, this is still part of like the fantasy, right?
The fantasy.
Yeah.
She looks 25 years old.
Yeah.
Like the way that they made her look and maybe just her look as well. She looks so much older, but there is like a thing where it's like there are some fucking creeps watching this.
Yeah.
Who are really getting off to this right now.
Yeah. But you know what? I feel like they always did that a lot
in the 90s. That would never happen now. We're not putting 14-year-old girls in bras and underwear and slow-mo them running.
Well, I mean, I think the most egregious example is, you know, the movie Leon the Professional, right? That ooh, yeah. Like, at least Natalie Portman has come out and talked about that, which for those that don't know, I mean, oh my God, good movie, really good movie, classic like action movie, but problematic in the sense of like the whole movie is like, how old was Natalie Portman in that movie, by the way?
So young, like really 13, young. 12.
And the whole, like, here's the thing. I watched the movie. I didn't pick up on the fact that like she like was in love with him or anything, but you know, she has like a fascination. She's sort of orphaned or whatever. Anyway, long story short, forget about the movie itself. Like Natalie Portman was getting like disgusting, dirty, like fan mail when she's like 13 years old of old men so fantasizing about her. Yeah. That's just disgusting and gross. Real off the rails from our fun 90s, you know, a kids movie. But anyway, long story short is like, yeah, I think there's a line there. I in my heart of hearts, I hope that, because I mean, everything I've seen, and I was like trying to look it up here too, it seems like Vanessa Shaw had very positive, fond memories of filming the movie. So as long as, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, her and Jonathan Brandis were dating throughout this whole movie.
Oh, I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, they were dating. And so that's pretty fun because he was hot as hell.
Yeah.
But I will just saying.
She was the it girl and he was the it guy.
Exactly. One thing that I love whenever we watch these 90s movies, like early 90s and mid 90s.
Yeah.
The rich people are always wearing white.
Yeah.
Rich people wear white. And I think it's because it's like, oh, you can get this dirty and throw it out.
Yeah.
Because you're so rich. But like the parents, the Mullins, Rodney Dangerfield's boss, a.k.a. Our girl Vanessa's parents, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Kimberly's parents.
Yeah.
They're on the sideline. First of all, why do they care so fucking much?
Yeah.
About the soccer team. Like the wife can't be happy unless the soccer team is winning. Let's start there. So fucking weird.
Hang on a second. But before you continue, I will say, have you ever been friends or like have family or anyone know any people who were like in like really into their kids' sports?
Tom.
Yeah.
A little backstory on Amanda. My life was soccer. Travel teams. I was on regional travel teams.
Yeah.
That was my ticket to the world, was soccer. My entire life. I think that's why I liked this movie so much. I think this movie, I'm not even kidding, like no joke, this movie created my obsession with soccer. Literally, like honestly.
Yeah.
And that was my whole life was soccer.
You wanted to.
That's all I wanted. All I wanted to do was be Jonathan Brandis's baby girl.
Yeah.
But no, I just wanted to play soccer professionally. That's all I wanted out of life. Yeah. There is a line I had, especially in the travel space, in like the more professional versions of soccer that I was playing, not school sports, not like, you know, town sports. Once I got better and got into these teams. Yes, 100%. But they are on the sideline. He's got like a martini. The mom's got a glass of champagne and they're just jumping up and down in their all white outfits, just losing their fucking minds. And I was just like, what? I mean, maybe that's how it was in the 90s. I don't know. I was a little too young. My first team that I ever played soccer on, shortly after seeing this movie, we were sponsored by Pinebush Septic.
Okay.
And the parents on the sidelines clearly were drinking because my mom started a chant every time we would score a goal. She's like, that's it, Pinebush Septic, flush them. So that's what I was dealing with.
Yeah.
My mom was also very annoying in team sports because as it got more competitive and I got more competitive, the parents weren't as like both teams get a participation trophy. It was like fucking life or death. Kind of like this.
Yeah.
And she would cheer for the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, Mom, you have to shut the fuck up. We are going to get the shit kicked out of us. She'd be like, good try, girls. Good try. Everybody did so good. I'm like, Mom, there are parents who are going to go home and beat their children tonight because they did not score goals. We cannot be saying this. She was not made for the cutthroat life. So, yes, I have been in that world. But it's just so funny in the 90s how they made this seem like, this is, you only get the promotion if my daughter's soccer team wins. And also I'm going to pull my daughter out of the game because she fucking sucks. So why do you care about the game so much?
Yeah.
I don't. And the poor girl kicks this like awful shot and it hits the sponsorship sign of her parents and knocks it off the fence. I'm like, fucking get it, girl.
Can we talk about the other girls in the team?
We have to.
I mean, the standout, everyone, I mean, it's Penny, right?
Penny Pester.
Yeah.
All she had to do, just like every 90s movie, just take your glasses off and put your hair down and you go from a 2 to a 10. And then Rodney Dangerfield has that scene, which is quite endearing. You know, he's like, no, you're beautiful. A little creepy because he's like, if I was your age, I'd ask you out a date. You wouldn't date me. And she's like, yes, I would.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's grooming. We're going to ignore that. And then she takes her hair down. He's like, take your hair down. Take your glasses off. You go talk to those boys. And he sends his fucking blind as a bat brace face across a fucking field. We both know that poor little girl in her Coke bottle glasses would have tripped. She would have ate shit and she would have had grass in her braces. But no, she just does like the slow run.
With her hair.
And she's like, what about my braces? And he's like, you don't worry about it. You're beautiful. It's a cute moment if we ignore the grooming part. But every 90s movie, just take your hair down and take your glasses off. Oh, look at you. You're a 10. It's like she's all that. Let's cut her hair and take her glasses off and take her art smock and put her in a red dress. Holy shit. Freddie Prinze Jr. is going to fuck her. That's what it felt like.
But that's the thing about, like, I mean, you know, all right, ignoring your grooming comment. But like, that was the thing, is like watching Rodney Dangerfield be sweet and endearing.
He
to these,
really
like,
was.
Yeah. Which is great. I mean, I love Rodney Dangerfield. Everyone
Me
loves
too.
Him.
Like, everyone
I don't
does.
Think there's anyone who doesn't love Rodney Dangerfield. And it, like, in life, he was a good person. Like, it just
very good person. He was a comedy icon. Like, I'm very comfortable saying that. He's a complete comedy icon. And he actually is very good friends with Whoopi Goldberg, who was supposed to play
Jack A's character,
but she just got the lead in Sister Act, which is why she didn't take it. Which good on you, Whoopi, because that made your fucking career.
Yeah.
Jeez. But also, we love this kind of stuff. Guess who else was supposed to play Jonathan Brandis's character?
Oh, I saw this. I'll let you take it. Yeah,
young Leo.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio. But I honestly, like, Jonathan Brandis was playful and fun. I mean, maybe he just didn't do anything when he was that young or that age that was like to that, but like there was a charm that he had that I don't think Leonardo DiCaprio had as a kid. Great actor, like did a bunch of other great things when he was, especially when he was young in the early 90s. But no, Jonathan Brandis was like, you compared it to like Devon Sawa was like, you know, Jonathan Brandis light. Those guys were just,
God. Also, can we talk about something that like shouldn't matter, but like as an 80s, 90s kid, like really did? The fucking van that he drives, it's a 1990 Pontiac Transport.
It's the future.
Just looking at it, I'm just like, oh my God. My dad definitely drove that van.
I love how like the future was supposed to look like according to the early 90s. Remember like whenever I watch Coneheads, which is another fun.
God, we've got to do that one. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
When you watch Coneheads, the car he drives had like that solid one headlight across the front. Like that was like for a hot minute in the early 90s. Like late 80s, early 90s, where they're like, let's build futuristic cars that look like spaceships, was popular for a hot second. But
also the like coach that's supposed to be like the angry lesbian, and the name of the team is the Beavers. And the whole like parent squad is like, trap those beavers.
Yeah.
Trap those beavers. And it's like, oh my God.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hilarity of him trying to, you know, not let anyone know that Martha is actually Matthew.
Yes.
Martha, There's the entire scene where he goes and they go to, because this is when you say problematic in the, about this movie, the one thing that sort of raised my eyebrow, I'll say, was, okay, so Martha goes along with the other girls from the team to Kimberly's house.
Gosh, and he has no choice.
And then he calls Chester because they're all going to go in the pool.
Skinny dipping in the pool.
Skinny dipping.
Yes.
Now, look, I'm a man. I used to be a teenage boy.
Congratulations.
I don't know. You tell me, was it normal for your girlfriends and you to go to like someone's house and all get naked in a pool?
If, okay. So, okay. I was the pool kid. I had the pool.
Okay.
I was the house with the pool.
Okay.
Maybe at night, if there was two or three of us and we couldn't see each other, we'd be like, let's go skinny dipping. Because it felt like, ooh, we're doing this thing. We're sneaking out of the house that my parents literally were like, yeah, you guys can go in the pool. Go ahead. Like 9 p.m. on a summer night, you know? Mm-hmm. And it would be like, let's take our bathing suit top off. You know, we didn't have boobs. So who fucking cared?
Okay, yeah.
But it was dark and you couldn't see each other.
Yeah.
In the fucking whole ass daytime. When like at that age, like 13, 14, 15, when they're supposed to be like, you've got, not to gross out the male listeners here, but girls are just truly like getting their period, getting pubes. We didn't know what the fuck to do with our bodies at that point. Like, look at the other girls on the team. Half of them don't even have boobs yet.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But if 13, 14 year old me had our girl, Kimberly, AKA Vanessa Shaw, at that party with her whole ass boobies, I am not showing my non boobs. Like, I would be on the edge of the pool, just dipping my feet in, being like, oh, sorry, I can't go in. I'm allergic to chlorine. I would make up some lame ass excuse. That is not happening.
Yeah. Well, what felt weird to me, by the way, wasn't just like, oh, the girls decided to do this. It seemed like it was being led by the mom.
Like, the mom's like,
come on, girls. Come on, girls. Let's go skinny dipping. Like, I'm
not
sorry.
Okay, guys.
I'm sorry. My 14-year-old daughter came over to your house for like an after team party and you decided to just get them all naked and go in the pool.
What's the little girl's name that has obsessed with butterflies? And
Carmelita Chu. Oh,
she's so cute. And Jonathan Brandis puts the little butterfly stickers all over the soccer ball so that she can focus on the soccer ball.
Oh, yeah.
How cute.
Yeah. I love that.
Also, the team that they play at the end for the playoff game or championship, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
Did you notice that half the players are boys in wigs?
Yeah. Wasn't that the whole?
And it's funny because like I never noticed that as a child, but watching it as an adult. Also, I just want to point out, watching this as an adult, I always thought I was Vanessa Shaw. Like, I always thought I was Kimberly Mullen. My parents were not rich. We were poor. No boy is lusting after me. Like, I thought I was a boy until seventh grade. And now rewatching it, it's like, I'm Jack A. Harry so hard. Like, that's who I am. Where she's like, you can't get fired. I got a TV. Yeah. I got a table. I got a couch. You can't get fired. That's me.
She was great. I love, like, I love the fact
so
that, like,
funny.
Well, because I think what's funny to me, too, is like, you know, even if this was like, again, trying to figure out if this was like a vehicle for Rodney Dangerfield, like just like an excuse for him to be like throw out Rodney Dangerfield jokes. I think any other movie, right? Comedians like him, like not as famous, but like Tom Parks, who is like his boss, Dave Mullen, Mr. Mullen was a comedian, too. Right. He's just like Rodney Dangerfield surrounded himself with other comedians in this. And I, you know, you look at like a lot of other like comedians like doing like vehicles, you know, like movies. That's just an excuse for them to prove how funny they are. They're not surrounding themselves with other comedians. They're surrounding themselves with like oh, it's a cameo by a NBA player or something else, right? Or like The Rock doing a movie with Kevin Hart or something. Like they're not surrounding themselves with other comedians. Like Rodney Dangerfield, he was playing right off of Jack A the whole time, like, you know, like they became like a little like duo going back and forth and they complimented each other. She's hilarious.
She's so funny.
Yeah. So also, I have an appreciation there.
I love that. And I also, one thing that I, when I rewatched it the first time, it was like, That bar scene where there's the juxtaposition, right? They're both having lady troubles. Rodney Dangerfield just got kicked out because his wife realizes, or his soon-to-be wife realizes that he's been using his son as a girl on the soccer team. And like Jonathan Brandis is in love with this girl who thinks she's a girl. And they go to their respective bars. That scene is so funny where he's like, moron, idiot. And the bartender's like, hey, buddy, I don't have to take your shit. And he's like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was talking to myself. My wife kicked me out. And he's like, oh, man. And then he's like telling him to get back into the dating pool. And he's like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
It's not my fault that my woman is mad at me because I took her son and dressed him up like a girl and told him to play with me a little bit or whatever the fuck he says. That was the thing.
The guy's like, no, I guess it's really, it's complicated. He's like, guy, I've heard of all the stories. Like, tell me, go ahead. I'm the bartender. Tell me your problem. What happened? He's like, she's mad at me because I dressed her son up like a girl and made him play with me. Like, get out of here, you sick.
And he's like, talk about happy hour. At least I skipped the bill. It's like 2024, you would have been put on a list, sire.
I know. But here's
the
thing.
And then you got Jonathan Brandis at the soda shop, and he's like, well, she thinks I'm a girl. And you've got like the old school black, soda tender who's behind the, just polishing this same soda milkshake glass, and he's like, if she thinks you're a girl, I don't know what you're doing, but you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you giving sex advice to a child?
But that's what I love about this movie too, is especially for that age range, like all the jokes are easily digestible like that. It doesn't take the easy route in a lot of them. They are smartly set up, and it is fun. But that's the thing, is this movie, it's still Rodney Dangerfield's humor, right? If you go back and watch Rodney Dangerfield's stand up, or if you really liked Back to School or Easy Money, right? It's still got that Rodney Dangerfield humor. It just so happens to be in a kid's movie. I love
which
that.
Which wasn't supposed to be a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Imagine making this movie thinking this is for adults and teenagers and telling all your friends, wait till my movie comes out. It's a fucking hoot. You're going to think it's hilarious. And then it being pushed on PBS Kids.
Yeah. I mean, it was on HBO in constant reruns. That was where I
Me too,
found
on the Black
it.
Box. That's where I found it. And we kept renting it from Blockbuster.
Yeah.
We kept renting it. We're like, this is the best movie. Just because my sister and I were like, oh my God, we were too poor to buy it.
But you were just because of Jonathan Brandis.
I loved him. I can't begin to tell you. I can't begin to tell you what that boy did to me. I was like, I am so in love with him. I used to buy the magazines and cut his face out and tape it in books.
Yeah.
Him and Devin Sawa. I apparently had a type until I got engaged. Does not have blonde hair. Does not have blue eyes.
It's all right.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Now, okay, I will say this. As we talked about, my two of my favorite sports movies from when I was that age, very young, were this and Little Giants. I loved them.
Yes.
Truly loved them. And I was a very big tomboy. There was nothing girly about me. And I have five sisters. And I think my dad and my stepdad were like, well, clearly our boy making machine is not working. So we'll just make these girls as tomboyish as possible. But what are other movies, sports movies for that age group from the early 90s that you remember? Because that's all I remember.
I mean, the famous one is The Sandlot.
Well, yeah, but that... 100%. I don't know why I didn't say that one, but to me, that one feels later. When did The Sandlot come out?
It was early 90s. I mean, maybe it was 94, I would say, or just off the top of my head guessing. Let's see how close I was.
Little Giants was 94. So maybe Sandlot fell into that world with me because I don't know. 93. Another fun 93.
Sandlot was 93. Yeah.
Another fun fact about Amanda is I played baseball until I was 16 years old. Not softball, baseball. I was the only girl in the whole league. Fun fact.
Good to you.
Didn't say I was good, Tom. Did not say I was good. Just said I played it.
Rookie of the Year.
Oh, God. Another good one.
But
why don't they make movies like this?
But I told you, because no studio is going to make a movie specifically for the age range of 5 years. That's their issue. I was going to say, I didn't like Rookie of the Year. I like Little Big League. I like Little Big League more, which are because they're very similar.
Very similar, but you didn't like Rookie of the Year? Come on, the mom. Who plays his mom? I loved her.
In Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
I have to look it up. I remember the mom from Little Big League, but...
And Gary Busey is in that one, which is so good. I mean, how could we not? And
Daniel Stern. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. What is her name? Oh, wait. Is it Amy Morton? Lisa's mom?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the mom. Amy Morton.
But again, I preferred... Little Big League was better. And that one...
I have to disagree on that.
Which is a fun connection. So... In that one, you had Daniel Stern and you had Gary Busey, right?
Yeah.
Little Big League had the love interest was Tim Busfield, who you've known from like a bunch of different things, right? But the other pitcher guy was Scott Patterson from, you know, Luke's Diner's owner.
Yeah.
And you get to see under his hat, back when he had hair you get to see he doesn't have hair.
Yeah, he good enough for me.
Dennis Farina was in that movie too, which is Jonathan Silverman. I thought that was a better cast too. It was a better, I don't know. I like that movie better.
Okay. I really loved Rookie of the Year, but I also loved Little Big League. Cool Runnings was another one that I was obsessed with.
Cool Runnings was another good one.
What year was that?
That was, what was before 93. John Candy died? Yeah, 93.
Yeah, 93.
I'm telling you, early 90s, right
You're
there.
It was 100% correct. Yeah.
Did you ever see The Scout?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's a great one.
I don't know what I think about this. Like, I mean, that's more an adult movie, but like keeping into like kids movies, like the Mighty Ducks came out in the early 90s too. Like we were really 100%. Into.
We were so spoiled. We really were.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's why, you're not really a sports person, but I am an intense sports person. And these were all my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Rudy, I think came out early 90s, right?
It did. It was like 94, I want to say. Okay. I'm guessing. Let's see.
Don't tell my fiance this. But I didn't see Tin Cup until I was an adult.
Tin Cup was okay. I mean, I don't know if I love the, I don't know.
White Man Can't Jump. I watched that with my dad on one of my dad weekends.
Yeah.
When I stayed at my dad's house and I was pretty obsessed with that one. Also, I will say top 100 movies for me on this list is Any Given Sunday. Have you watched that one?
So I rewatched Any Given Sunday recently.
Okay, I haven't. So tell me, am I going to be very sad?
So let me, all right, just throw this out there, right? Directed by Oliver Stone.
Okay.
Right? Which keep that in mind, because I feel like that gets like, Oliver Stone is known for a lot of things. When you're like, hey, remember that football movie directed by Oliver Stone?
Yeah.
No one remembers that. He's also in the movie. It's Al Pacino, Jamie Foxx, Dennis Quaid, Cameron Diaz, James Woods.
What a cast.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's an Oliver Stone movie. LL Cool J, Aaron Eckhart is in there too. Matthew Modine. It's got a stacked cast. John C. McGinley. I'm just naming names now. But if you go back and watch it now, there's this. It was from 1999.
Really? That far into the 90s? Well, that makes sense because Cameron Diaz was like just coming into being the hot blonde it girl at that point.
For some reason, they didn't get the licensing from the NFL to make the movie. Like it's not an NFL team, right? There is no NFL. It's like the American Football League or it's like some fake name. I think they're the Miami Sharks is the name of the team in there. But here's my issue with it. It is peak like early 2000s. I mean, I know it's 99, but it's like that peak early 2000s, like aesthetic that I got motion sickness watching it. Right. It
was like, really?
It was really bad. Like, if you go and watch like the Transformers movie.
Wait, I know exactly what you're talking about. Where they like come in from the top really fast when they're on the field. And there's that one scene where he like loses his finger or whatever the fuck it is, whatever happens. And they fly in.
It's that.
Yeah.
But they also drop the frame rate to like 5 frames a second or something wacky. And so it's just all of a sudden like just flashing images. And I'm like, I'm not epileptic, but I'm going to have a seizure like watching.
Okay.
Like this is.
All right.
And it's colorful
and it's
like
nauseous.
Blurry and it's really bad. It's like, I think Michael Bay saw that and was like, ooh, that's my favorite thing in the world. And then just went and made every movie after that like that. But
okay,
it is. Yeah.
All right. I'm not rewatching that then, but I have two on this list that were like That's not just two, but like two that I fucking was obsessed with was Major League and of course A League of Their Own. But like Major League to me is like pinnacle sports movie. I loved that.
I love Major League 2 because I love how silly they leaned
into it. Oh yeah, Major League 2 was very much like the comedic version of Major League.
Yeah, I mean, Major League is a comedy, but like Major League 2 went full throttle, just like, fuck it. Like, we're going to go slapstick comedy with it.
Yeah.
I mean, for what it's worth, right? Like, leaning into that, this is a real deep cut again. Police Academy did the same thing, right? If you go watch the original Police Academy, like, it's a comedy. Like, it's staged and everything. But then the Police Academy 2 or 3, they're just like, screw it, full on slapstick, just like, you know, like a parody of itself. Like they live in Looney Tunes world at this point. I still love Police Academy. That's a no one That's talks about one. Anymore.
We've
by the
do
way,
that one.
Why and does I no one talk about Police Academy?
There's another soccer movie from the 90s, and I don't know the name of it, and I fucking loved it.
All right,
and it has that
it.
Ginger kid. He's the ginger. He's in Sandlot. He plays the goalie.
Yes.
What was the name of it? I loved that movie.
My wife loved that movie because I was like, I never saw it. It was like Green or.
You're right.
Man, I'm trying to remember now.
It was a Disney movie, I thought.
Yes, it was a Disney. See, here's the thing. I didn't grow up in a Disney household, so I avoided those movies. It was The Big Green, by the way. The movie was The Big Green.
Oh, that was so good.
Disney's The Big Green. That was the thing. Anytime.
I love Disney movies.
Here's the thing. I had an aversion to it for some reason. Like, going back to the 90s, anytime you had those movies where it was like, you saw the trailer and it was like, you know, like, you know, soccer's got a new player. And then it's like, Disney's.
That's awful because your voice is perfect for it.
I know. Whenever you had the Disney's blah, blah, blah. Like, anytime I heard that, I'm like, yeah, I don't have any interest. I don't want to watch
it. Bro, you're missing out. Brink. Motocross. Oh my God. The way that my sister and I watched Motocross. Brink, Johnny Tsunami, Alex Mack. I mean, you're missing out. I've got to do just Disney movie episode.
I'm going to correct you. Alex Mack was Nickelodeon.
Was Nickelodeon. You're 100% correct.
Yeah.
Can we do a Nickelodeon game show episode? I put it on our list. This has nothing to do with anything, but I was just thinking about 90s.
Nickelodeon.
Oh, God. But their game shows were so superior.
Yeah.
Mark Summers, that man.
I love Mark Summers.
Oh, my God. I sent Tom, guys, a message that Mark Summers is having a one-man show in New York City in February all about his time on Nickelodeon. I was like, Tom, we must go. We must, because we are Nickelodeon kids, 100%.
Do you know the story? Did you ever see the story of him on Jay Leno?
No.
Oh, man. Bad? Yeah, he got into like a fight with Burt
with Jay
Reynolds.
Leno? Oh, no, with Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
That's not someone I'd want to get in a fight with.
We're getting really far.
If I was a white man.
We got really far away from when this all started, but basically Burt Reynolds was the first guest on Jay Leno, and then
This is back when they sat on the couch together.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Mark Summers comes out, Burt Reynolds moves over to the second position, Mark Summers is getting interviewed, and I don't know, there was like some back and forth.
Ruin it for me because I'm definitely going to watch it as soon as we're done recording.
Okay, but you should go watch it. It's
guys, stay tuned for our Mark Summers episode.
You know what it is? It's nowadays everyone knows how everything works behind the scenes, right? Like you know, there's no putting on a show for people. Back then, it was like, you know, there was I was watching a clip also of like Hulk Hogan putting someone in a sleeper hold, the guy from SVU who is a comedian, I forget his name already, and like literally knocking him unconscious during his own talk show because he said something that Mr. T didn't like. So they did like a bit where he was like, oh, let me put you in a headlock, and then like put him in a sleeper hold and like knocked him unconscious. And then the guy woke up, he's like, oh, we'll be right back, we'll throw it to commercial, right? Where it's like, oh, we got to put on the show, right? Can't let people know something's wrong. And that was like very much in the 90s, like this too, like on Jay Leno, the audience is laughing. They think they're doing a bit. And Burt Reynolds is seeing red and wants to murder Mark Summers.
This is incredible.
And yeah. And then, but also keep in mind too, Mark Summers quite famously had like obsessive compulsive disorder.
Really bad. Yes.
And like had to like wash his hands 15 times kind of vibes. And he was on a show where people were like, jumping in slime pits and,
yes,
you know,
Oh, we've got to go to this one-man show, Tom.
I know.
I mean, it's not too far because we're talking about the 90s. And so this is that was very 90s.
Yeah.
But to bring it back to this, we'll wrap it up. This movie did not do poorly. It did $20 million, or its budget was $20 million, and its box office actually hit $14.8 million.
Yeah.
So, yes, they lost money, but once it hit, like you said, once it hit streaming, like once it hit HBO, every fucking weekend that movie was on. At least twice.
All the time.
Yeah. All the time.
And more importantly, more than anything else.
Yes.
I got to sit there and with Jonathan Brandis fall in love with Vanessa Shaw.
I can't even tell you. And like, let's talk about poor Jonathan Brandis. Like, can't end the episode without talking about that. The poor guy's career just kind of, I mean, it screeched, I would say, once the 2000s hit. Like, he was not relevant. He could not get it together. He could not get into something, you know, that was making him money. He was in.
So to back up, though. So early 90s, when Ladybugs came out, that was the same year Sidekicks came out, which.
Yeah.
You know, that was
and
more
he was in that as
90s.
Well. Yes.
Right. He had started off the decade in the Neverending Story 2. Right. He was.
Yeah.
For most of the 90s, he was on a TV show called Sequest DSV. Which,
that's the first place I think I've like after Ladybugs, I was like, I can watch this. These episodes are on TNT every day.
Yeah. And so he was
and
in
also
stuff.
Full House and Who's the Boss. Like, I had seen him so many times and he was a voice on Aladdin. Like, I was obsessed with him. He was on Saved by the Bell the college years. Like,
yeah,
he played an episode in the Wonder Years. I knew this boy inside and out.
Yeah.
But he really fell off. Come like 97, I think, is like the last time he
pretty much after Sequest went out. And I don't know if there's any reason for it. Right. I don't know if there's any reason why, like, he sort of fell off as far as like being able to get roles. I don't know if he was just getting pigeonholed into like the you were the 90s kid, you know, so that was it. But yeah, he didn't really get a lot of roles. And then, yeah, things got tragic. So.
Well, he was dating Tatiana Ali for a long time.
Yeah.
I think until he died, actually. And he died by suicide, and unfortunately he hung himself, and he was found in the hallway of his apartment. How fucking awful is that?
He was 27.
27.
Right. Which like, just to take a step back too, like, you think about this kid in like the early 90s, that was him.
Yeah.
Right. Like, when you're like, oh, by the time, like, 10 years later, right? Because he passed in 2003.
Yes.
10 years after, you know, Sidekicks and Ladybugs came out, you know. I think also Sequest had started, like, also, like, 93-ish, right? Was that the...
Sequest started...
1993.
93 to 96, yeah.
93 was his year. 10 years later, like, he was having trouble getting any role.
Well, his dad said that he doesn't think that it was the industry related. He thinks that he was suffering from bipolar disorder and that most of his 20s, he was showing it, like, he was displaying manic depression. And he said that, you know, they didn't really know what that was then. That wasn't really talked about the way it is now. And he's like, I wish that I could go back and get him the help that he needed. But like, he had really bad bipolar disorder is what the dad thinks it was. And so... Either way, I mean, it was, I remember when he died, I was so sad. Yeah. I was so sad, but like, you know, there's also a sadness to this industry. And we've talked about it quite a bit on movies that there is a child role. Child actors, I don't think we realize what is done to them. Look at all these fucking Disney child actors, Nickelodeon child actors that now have these podcasts that are talking about the truly awful things that have happened to them.
Yeah.
And it's just like, they're trying to be adults, but like, they have no idea how to be adults because of what their childhood was.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I really hope that like hearing stories about like what like Britney Spears went through and then with Jeanette McCurdy, was that after my time, but like, you know, like, or any of the kids that worked with like, what's his name? Dan, whatever the hell his name is.
Oh, what a Nickelodeon scumbag. Yeah.
Like, all of them went through, like, you know, because you're in this weird, I think that's the thing too, is like, you know, it's the reason why I'm, you know, I worry about like, you know, or I was worrying about how these kids were treated behind the scenes kind of thing, is because when you're like 12, 13, 14, like you're self-conscious, like you're, to your point, your body's changing, right?
Yeah, you know, you're so uncomfortable with your skin.
Right. You're trying to figure out who you are. At the same time, you like, you're at a point where like, I just want to be a grown-up. I want to be seen as a grown-up.
Yeah.
Know, a lot of the time. God, like you're,
if I
you're,
could go back, being a grown-up fucking blows.
Exactly. You're trying, you're trying so hard to shed being a kid and be seen as an adult that, you know, you're going through all that stuff simultaneously while, yeah, you're being put on TV shows and like, yeah, go put on a bathing suit and dance in front of the camera and do this. And, you know, like you're treated as like an object, or you're treated in a way where you're, you know, you're being treated as older, but at the same time too, it's, that's a whole reason why most kids are dealing with that when like not in this, not in show business.
Yes.
And so like you get, you throw that into the mix and then the whole world is looking at you. That's a nightmare.
It's awful. And, you know, so, I mean, I'll just say, like, rest in peace to Jonathan Brandis, obviously. But this movie for, again, truly, I will say this, my awakening. I was obsessed. I lied so much in first grade saying that he was my boyfriend. And I remember I was throwing out a cupcake. It was someone's birthday in the classroom. I was throwing out a cupcake and I was bent over throwing it out. You remember when you used to have to like stand in line to throw things out?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody up from your desk. Let's make a line to throw things out in the garbage can. And it was like the end of the day and it was picture day that day. I had this like silk shirt on with this little vest and I was standing in line and my cousin by marriage was behind me and he pushed me because he thought it would be funny. And it was like one of those, like the garbage can was on the ground, but the desk that had all the books that we were reading was on, it was right there. And it was like super pointed corner and it just hit my eyebrow. Ooh. And my eye exploded. And they wouldn't let me get on the bus because I was bleeding everywhere. And my mom had to come pick me up and she was a nurse and she had to come pick me up and I ended up having to go get stitches. And she felt so bad for me that, and my principal had a box of cats in the office and my mom let me take home a cat.
Like an actual cat? I think they're saying Kit Kat.
My cat. Yeah, my kitty cat. He was a little kitten. My mom let me take him home. His name was Smokey. I had him until he was 20 years old. I loved him so much.
Jesus.
So that's my memory of being a child, spending the whole day telling everyone I was dating Jonathan Brandis. And then the next day I came back to class and I was like, yeah, I got stitches, but I wrote Jonathan and he's going to send me something to make me feel better.
Can I throw out
what
one
a
more
world.
Thing? Can I throw out
what
one
a
more
world.
Thing, by the way?
Yes, go ahead.
Because we had a similar conversation, I think. What was it? Was it Back to the Future we were talking? No, we were Adventures in Babysitting.
Yes.
Right? Elizabeth Shue, like, you know, literally what dropped out of Harvard briefly to go, I forget what that story was, but super smart woman. Vanessa Shaw, very similar in that aspect, right? She is a psychologist and a former adjunct professor.
What?
Yeah. Keep in mind, by the way, I think she acted predominantly, like she did a lot of movies and TV shows. Like she did, she's mostly known for Hocus Pocus and then Lady.
Oh, she was in The Hills Have Eyes. I remember that.
The Hills Has Eyes. She was also in Eyes Wide Shut, which
we did
realize, like, you know, that she was in that. But it's also
and 3:10 to Yuma, another one I've seen.
40 Days and 40 Nights. But she was in a bunch of she acted. Not, I don't want to say like continuously, but like she's still like figured out a way to shove in. You know,
she has an age, Tom. I'm looking at a picture of her right now from 2023. She's like the exact same with maybe some smile lines.
Yeah.
Good for you, girl.
Yeah.
Good for
you. But I love it. I love when I see that where like, you know, they go off and, you know,
just
figure out.
It. Yeah.
Like they like kill it on screen, go to college, get doctorates, go kill it in like other professions too. Just be like, I'm not just.
I'm using my child actor money to pay for this fucking doctorate because I'm half genius.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I love that.
Well, so. I love Ladybugs. Thank you too. For also loving it so that we could do it. And, we're just gonna say blanket thing. Some things don't hold up.
Yeah.
We're aware of it, but it's still enjoyable.
No, I would say I watched it with my kid. He really liked it. And like it put it in like the same basket as like The Sandlot and all that kind of stuff. But the difference here, and this again, you know what? I'll connect the dots here. When I was talking before about like how when you're young, you just kind of want to be perceived as older. This is like a kid's movie with an adult comedian.
100%
in the role.
Agreed.
And he's not just doing kiddie. He's not doing kiddie jokes, right? There's still like borderline jokes. It's all like you know, Three's Company S double entendre confusion.
That's like, why I got to watch it. Yeah. Because my dad was like, oh, I love Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
There you go. So if you haven't watched it in a while and you're our age, go watch it. It'll bring you back to your childhood. If you haven't watched it and you're younger than us, go into it with an open mind.
Yeah.
Just pretend you're watching it as an adult.
Pop an edible.
Pop an Eddie.
And go watch this and have a good time.
It's, agreed.
It is a good time.
All right. Well, that's Ladybugs, guys. Yep. Taking it to the 90s.
Cool. See you next time.
Bye.